Portions of today's program are mechanically reproduced. And now keep your dial set on Channel 26 for the finest of television programming.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
Relief. You two take care of labor.
Only intended for a plane, Captain.
Danger! Danger! Man your stations! Vehicle in direct path of meteor storm!
You don't want to die of cold. Toll free.
Look, I'm a doctor, not an escalator. Spock, give me a hand.
I'll give you trouble!
Pop your piece around the track if you get...
Nails and more nails.
Have you ever tried to report a UFO sighting?
I'll save you the trouble. There is not a single government agency still in existence that will admit to any interest in the subject. If you seem to be insistent, they will refer you to a private organization.
You handsome, charming, specially marked boxes of monster cereals know. Inside one of these free wax lips, fangs, or mustaches, they just uncover the real you.
We now continue with Smurf.
Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man.
The California mountains, there's a colony of aliens, explorers from deep space. They also control the Sasquatch.
Bigfoot?
That's right.
All funky colors. Shapes that swing.
That's impossible.
Robots? I call them fembots. The perfect women. Programmable, obedient, and as beautiful or as deadly as I choose to make them.
Really? They're robots.
And now part two of Kill Oscar.
Run! Wow!
Run while you can, boss.
Welcome to Two Old Farts Talk Sci-Fi. I'm David Klink.
And I go by the alter ego of Troy Harkin.
And this is our 75th anniversary show, and I think everyone just might want to introduce themselves because we've already got six people, Troy and I, and a fifth guest has just joined. So Glenn, you were here first, weren't you?
I think I was. I was watching you guys set up. So yes, hey, I'm Glenn Seymour, a longtime old friend of Troy's from Richmond Hill and of Mr. Pat Lannon's. I've known these guys for like 40 plus years. So back when we were teens.
And a regular listener, just like Pat Lannon.
And I'm a very regular listener to Two Old Farts. Yes, love it. And yeah.
Well, being regular and a listener, being both of those is important. Yeah, yeah. And I think our third person that joined us was Rachel A. Rosen.
Hi, yeah. I'm Rachel A. Rosen, a middle-aged fart, and co-host of David's other podcast, Wizards and Spaceships. I'm also a writer. My first book is called Cascade. And I also wrote a cookbook called The Sad Bastard Cookbook, Food You Can Eat So You Don't Die.
Welcome, Rachel. And I think our next attendee was Patrick Lannon, I think. Patrick?
Oh, we cannot hear you, Pat. We cannot hear you. Does somebody have to do some unmuting?
Well, he is unmuted, but there might be something on his end.
Well, Pat, you're going to have to mime for us.
Until... It's charades.
David Ward was next.
Hi, I'm David Warren. I'm a longtime science fiction fan and a friend of David Klink's. I went to a fair number of the early episodes of this series, but haven't been a regular attendee for a while. Rachel, I just read the dance book, as it were. So I read your story and I read Iris' story. Anyway, I don't know if there's anything else relevant.
No worries, okay. David. You certainly listened to the show early on when it was good, so it's great that you're just kidding. But
I carefully did not say that, he said. No.
And I think Ira is next.
Hi. Sorry, I was a minute late. Are we doing introductions?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm Ira Naiman. I'm sometimes referred to as the honorary third fart, mm-hmm. third old fart. I've been on the show a few times. I've known David for quite a while now. We ran into each other a lot at cons. Troy, not as long, but I like to think it's still very special. So yeah,
that's me. You're one of the kindred folk, I would say, Ira, for sure.
Yeah, we love Ira's himself, his love of satire. Because you've been on a few episodes and they're all about, you know, films that have that whole satirical look on thing generally.
I am a writer of humor, and most of my humor has a large streak of satire in it. I'll also say that when I was an undergrad at York, I had an unofficial minor in humor. And studied satire as one of my subjects. So, I come at it from a couple of different perspectives.
Having a minor in humor is funny in itself.
I'm sure the university, if it had a sense of humor, would agree with that.
They should, instead of like when they present the diplomas, rather than do that, they should do like a Rip Taylor thing and just like, you know, throw confetti at you. That would be the way to do that, I think. And then you have to assemble the confetti to make your diploma.
Yeah. And that could be a superhero, Confetti Man. Yeah. I would buy that comic.
That's right. Now, speaking of superheroes, Dave, this is our 75th episode. I'm not saying that that makes us superheroes, but, you know, I think it makes us pretty cool. Anyway, but yeah, 75th, not anniversary, but 75th episode show. We're losing shows per second here. 75th episode, and we're dealing with superheroes specifically on TV, because this season is our all TV season, our Two Old Farts Meet the Glass Teat. And I just wanted to quickly read an excerpt from a chapter of The Glass Teat by Harlan Ellison, where he talks about his love of Saturday morning cartoons, but I've got little excerpts about just superheroes in general. So he says, "Now the truth is revealed, my guilty secret. I am a devout Saturday morning cartoon watcher. I could cop out and explain it all by saying a TV critic has to watch everything, but there would probably be a fink in the crowd who would point out that if such was the case, why did I miss the much lauded Michelangelo special last week, not to mention the Elvis, Brigitte, or Anne Margaret bashes? And since I have begun the unseemly habit of dealing in honesty with you, gentle readers, I must confess boldly that I watch the Saturday morning cartoon shows because they are a consummate groove. I dig them. That simple. Yet the days of the superheroes may be numbered, and for those of you who have not as yet fallen down on what joys present themselves pre-noon every Saturday, let me clue you to several shows of worth. 9 o'clock, Channel 7, The Adventures of the Incredible Spider-Man, Peter Parker, who is in reality the dreaded nemesis of evildoers everywhere. Spider-Man, while a high school science student, was bitten by a radioactive spider. Don't boggle, read on. He acquired the superpowers of a spider as a result. Wall climbing, agility, gymnastic excellence, clear thinking, and his acne cleared up overnight. Considered to be an outcast and a menace by the establishment, as portrayed by J. Jonah Jameson, publisher of Great Metropolitan Daily, faintly reminiscent of Mr. Luce at his crankiest. Spider-Man goes his lone revolutionary way, socking it to the malefactors and bumbling cops with a nice impartiality. He struggles every Saturday morning to implement the revolution. Then at 10:30 a.m. on Channel 2, there's the animated Batman-Superman Hour of Adventure. And need I say more? The Riddler is there, and the Penguin, and the Catwoman, and the Joker, and the Robin, and Batgirl, and Superboy with his Wonder Dog Crypto. And it is some of the best animation on network TV. And if you dug the comics, You'll love the films. And then he says parenthetically, did you ever wonder if Superman wore a jock strap under the long underwear? I'm going to leave it at that, but I just thought it would be nice to throw in a little quote from Harlan Ellison as we sort of have stolen his glass teat title for this season's TV stuff. But guys, tell us about some of your favorite superheroes.
And supervillains.
And supervillains, yes.
I might jump in and say that I think I remember reading somewhere that Harlan Ellison, right, it was actually an intro to my favorite story, TikTok, Repent Harlequin Said the TikTok Man. And he sort of was talking about how he's always late. And he says that, the studios that hire me know they have to send a driver, otherwise I'll still be sitting on the toilet reading Spider-Man.
And we are listening to the voice of Mr. Stephen Humphrey, who is, along with being our previous trivia champion. Well, Stephen, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are?
I don't know. I guess, well, all I can think about today is I'm working on a book proposal about worms. So I could talk about acorn worms, and I really forget everything else about myself.
Okay.
But favorite superhero show probably is the Krantz animation Spider-Man, you know? Mm. Gotta think, Spidey. Gotta think, right? You know, beautiful animation. Although I think the first thing I watched was probably the Super Friends on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, you know, it amazed me when we did a little research on our previous Saturday morning episode, how long Super Friends was on, because I caught it in its initial run, which is like 74 it came on. Hold on, let me just double check my note there. No, 73, so I was in grade 3. But it ran until 1985 in different variations. Like there was Challenge of the Super Friends and, I don't know, like Ramen of the Super Friends and, you know, shit like that. But it just didn't go away for ages.
There was Heretics of the Super Friends and God Emperor of the Super Friends too, but people don't talk about that. So Stephen also had a book on pollination.
Housewives of the Super Friends.
The Real Housewives of the Super Friends. But yeah. Stephen had a book out recently called Paths of Pollen?
Yeah, it's Paths of Pollen, which sounded like a catchy title when I pitched it to the publisher.
Yeah, and I was at the launch, a wonderful launch in High Park. And also, you were a guest on our Neuromancer episode, because you had mentioned how much you love Neuromancer.
I love Neuromancer. I love William Gibson. Yeah. Mm. That was really fun. I think I out-nerded myself on that. I actually have like highlighter in like several William Gibson books because of research for that episode. So yeah.
So let's go around the horn and hear from everybody. What do you think? Glenn, did you want to go next?
I guess for me, the only one I think of Spider-Man there with the classic Canadian anime voice actors, right? Most of whom were reused for that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all that other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And of course, yes, the Super Friends, the Hall of Justice, all that, you know. But I can remember one thing that sticks in my mind all these years later is certain like prominent American politicians would be kind of worked into some of those Justice League cartoons. Like I remember, what was his name? As mayor of Detroit in the 70s. They worked him in one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember that guy's name. He was like longtime mayor. And it's like, yeah, I mean, like we were, you know, largely familiar with Buffalo, you know, politicians through our TV and all that. But that guy was worked into it because I think they were trying to reach a more diverse audience. So that was why they put a kind of a civic leader, you know.
Oh, that's like right.
And we Batman had Mayor Linseed, who was just a take on John Lindsay, right? So they kind of worked him in. But yeah.
And Super Friends also added in the, there was the indigenous, wasn't there like a giant Indian in the show?
Yeah.
At one point? And there were a couple of like additions like that that got thrown in there beyond the first season.
Yeah, Coleman Young, that was the guy's name. They worked him in on episodes of Super Friends. Now, I'm not sure if he was actually supposed to be Coleman Young or they just kind of took the look of him and right. just used it on that. So Coleman Young, Super Friends.
Yeah. Okay, Rachel, what do you have for us? You got any favorites?
Yeah, so I never really bonded with cartoons, but definitely a couple cartoonish superhero TV shows. So one of them would be the old Adam West Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
I love. And it's gritty reboot about a decade ago, Gotham, which has that same level of absolutely ridiculous camp, but an attempt to do it in a modern and more explicitly gay way. It's not a good show, but I love it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Pat, you can text in if you like. There's a way to do that. There's a way to do it.
There's a chat function too that we could.
If you want to put a response in. We can't hear you. We can't hear you, dude. Okay. David, did you have any favorites? And again, this can be live action. It can be animated. As long as it's on TV, that's our criteria.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is David Warren.
Yeah, well, I didn't think he was talking to you.
No, he doesn't.
Anyway, actually, my first superhero enjoyment, other than actual comics, of course, was the live Superman show, right? Or, I mean, not animated, with George Reeves.
Mm.
I'm a real old fart, okay? Yep. And then, of course, there was the live Batman show. But I also did like Spider-Man and the Justice League, but I was not as much a fan of the animated TV shows as live action, because if I wanted my general feeling, I mean, I'm looking back at it now, is if I wanted the equivalent of animation, I'd rather read the comic.
Right. And I mean, as much as I loved the Super Friends at the time, some of that animation is very questionable, where you get characters that are supposed to wear gloves, not wearing gloves, and vice versa, and colors inverted. Like, I think in one, Green Lantern is actually yellow, which in, you know, the previous version of Green Lantern, yellow was the one thing that he had no power over. Again, as a kid, I loved whatever I was given, because it was like, hey, it's not just a comic. I wanted to say too, that those of us who grew up in the GTA, David and I have talked about this many different episodes, we were fortunate enough to grow up with both from Channel 7 in Buffalo, the Commander Tom show, which actually, let's just stick to Commander Tom. There's also Rocket Ship 7 that did cartoons in the morning, but in the afternoon after school, it was Commander Tom, and he would alternate Superman episodes, the Adventures of Superman that David was just referencing, with the Adam West Batmans. So we would like run home to watch these episodes when we were in grade three or whatever. Ira, do you want to put your two cents in there?
Sure, absolutely. I have a couple of animated and a couple of live action. In terms of the animated shows, I'd like to give a shout out to The Tick, which has been rebooted as a live action a couple of times now, but they never quite got just the demented weirdness of the original animated series. I often, every once in a while, for no apparent reason.
Oh, we lost you for a sec there, Ira. I think you're muted right now.
Sorry,
oh,
cats wandering around the table. Sometimes
they're villains. They're super villains.
Eat them. Every so often, someone will hear me say, I didn't find The Tick, but I found this beautiful pie. The fact that they have a superhero who sounds very much like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man just endears me to that show so much. There is also a show about a lawyer who defends superheroes or gets involved in superhero activities. And I'm thinking it's Harvey Birdman, but yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
Right, which was Stephen Colbert, I think, who voiced it. Right?
Stephen Colbert is a comedy genius. Everything he touches is gold. So that if that's the one I'm thinking of, then...
Yeah, yeah. I love so much of the Adult Swim stuff. Yeah.
Yep. In terms of live action, I'm not actually a big fan of the Arrowverse. I think that DC's sort of dour, downer kind of vibe is just not... It's not very entertaining to me. But DC does have a couple of shows that that I really enjoyed. One was, of course, Legends of the Future, which goes off on its own demented tangents. Bebo, I think, the 20-foot tall doll creature,
yes,
is just hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ira.
I just wanted to ask you, did you see the Woodstock episode where they end up killing this unicorn?
Seen the whole series. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And even more fun, because it's more psychedelic and weird, is Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yes.
So all of those would be sort of on my top list of superhero TV shows.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Doom Patrol, too, because I didn't know if we would actually get around to it today. And having mentioned The Tick, I guess we can go around again. I didn't prep anybody for this, but does anybody have any sort of outlier favorites in terms of villains or heroes? So Ira mentioned The Tick. My response for this was Mark Hamill playing the Trickster in The Flash from 1988. And it's so great. It's so zany and over the top. And I'm sure it sort of opened everybody's mind to, hey, we can do more with Luke Skywalker. And, you know, that's a couple of years before he ended up doing the Joker on Batman, the animated series, which to me is one of the best Jokers ever. But anyway, anybody else have any like weirdo TV superhero, supervillain characters that they loved?
Well, nobody's mentioned Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the attempts to put it on TV, and I understand there have been some recent movies that I haven't even seen. But
you're very good. There's a TV. I remember. I think many of us might remember something from the late 70s, wasn't it? There was a TV movie of Doctor Strange that I really liked. I don't think it ever really became a series. But we might count it as a TV movie because that we've already done some TV movies in our TV season.
Okay. I would love to see that because I am a Doctor Strange fan. I think it was one of my favorite comics of all time. I don't know if this is an outlier or not, but I think nobody's mentioned the 1970s Shazam. Where he goes around in a van or something like that, I think.
Right. With a mentor.
Yes, with an older mentor. Man.
Yeah, mentor named Mentor. That's right. Okay, yeah. Mentor. There's my outlier character. But yeah, and he's got that kind of, you know, wave or throw or something like that going on. And then
he's driving around with Arthur Fiedler by the looks of it. If I can remember what Mentor looks like,
Tremaine.
Also, just jump in and say that I totally forgot my other. Oh yeah, ISIS. There's the ISIS show.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. The Bill Bixby's Hulk was one of my favorite. We're talking outlier, greatest American hero.
Yeah. A theme song that has outlived the series, really.
Yeah. Which
we
is,
still
which
hear
is,
that all the time.
It is a fantastic song, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And by the ingenious Mike Post, right? Who wrote
right. Do you remember they had to change the name of the character, though, because of a certain incident? He was Ralph Hinckley. They just stopped. They dropped the character name Hinckley completely. They just, after the attempt on Reagan, they just started calling him Mr. H or whatever.
Oh,
or just
funny.
Ralph. His last name was never mentioned again.
Oh, that's hilarious.
After that, yeah.
Now, I just need to throw this in terms of name changes. David and I have already worked on our $6 Million Man episode, which will be coming up. But there was an episode called The $7 Million Man. And there's a new bionic guy who was actually better in terms of his abilities, but he's a dick. And the character's name was Barney Miller.
Oh, and that's right. Oh, I remember that episode really well. Yeah, yeah.
And on the rewatch, when I was just doing it, every time he says Barney Miller, I would guffaw. I would do like a spit take. And so this happened before Barney Miller came to air.
Right.
And subsequently, they used the character, but they changed his name from Barney Miller, because the show was now on, to Barney Hiller. And we were just, you know, supposed to be gaslit into thinking, oh, it was Barney Hiller all along. But no, it's Barney Miller. And to hear Steve Austin say, you know, we have to watch Barney Miller. He's trouble. He's up to no good. You know, that type of thing was hilarious. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
You know, it was really up to no good. His partner, who was always in the bathroom with the newspaper. So.
Anybody else have any odd characters that they love? Like whether it was like Hong Kong Phooey or Captain Caveman?
You asked about villains.
Yep.
I'm always drawn to trickster characters, and
yes,
in Supergirl, the character, and I'm going to butcher his name,
but oh yeah,
Mr. Mixel Pixel or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Mixel Pickle Licker. I don't know.
What something like that. Yeah.
Mahavlich.
Mahavlich.
The great thing about him is that he is not motivated by, you know, fame or wealth or any of the things that most supervillains are motivated by, which makes him unique right there. Mm. I will tell you, this is audio, so people can't see this, but my picture that I'm projecting into this Zoom image is actually kind of an evil trickster. And the reason for that is because in my D&D game, we're currently running a dungeon that is kind of based very loosely on a fantasy version of Suicide Squad. And my character is actually a combination of the Joker and Harley Quinn, in the same body. They kind of switch off every so often. And I've already sort of mentioned to the Dungeon Master that it is very possible that the Joker part of them is going to get them killed. And if that does happen, we've already sort of started working up a replacement character, and it's going to be based on Mr. Mixel Pixel thing.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, just moving from one version of a trickster to another, right?
Yeah. I always found it odd when DC tried to create a Mr. Mixoplex for Batman, and they gave him Batmite, you know, which was just annoying. It was almost more like he was the Great Gazoo meets Mr. Mixoplex. I also wanted to ask if anybody had any beefs that they hated about certain characters. Now there's the obvious one that people always talk about with Clark Kent and the glasses, you know, whether you buy that or not, that's his form of costume or disguise or whatever. I'll let you know mine, because this has always been an issue ever since I was a little kid. And every time I've ever seen any version of the Hulk, it was his pants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they should rip right off. Not that I need to see Hulk dick, but the thing is, it's like, what? How do they stay on? Like, what is he wearing? Lycra back in the 60s, I guess.
There was a special issue of the What If comic.
Uh-huh. Where
it was all one-offs, right? That one of them was, what if the Hulk's pants didn't stretch? And he's like kind of covering it up going, woo!
Yeah, see, well, that's sort of what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
And my other thing was, and why doesn't Bruce Banner have stretch marks?
Hmm.
And so yeah, those are the two things that really stand out for me. But does anybody else have issues with characters or believability issues based on, you know, beyond the normal realm of suspension of disbelief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I mentioned this during our Superman episode, was the idea of Superman being able to somehow send almost like a laser beam or sending through his eyes, which to me makes no sense whatsoever. There's not even a way of explaining how he does, because eyes bring in light. They don't send laser beams anywhere. So I just, you know, maybe that's a good question for when we get to a science episode, when Rachel and I do our Wizard and Spaceship science show, and have someone actually explain how that's possible.
Right. And, you know, in Smallville, there was a great episode called, I believe, Heat. And it's the whole idea with Smallville is Clark is learning his abilities a little by little. So it's like, you know, the regular idea of a teenager with growing pains. And in this one episode, Clark is turned on by this one substitute teacher. And when he gets aroused, his heat vision comes on and he actually ends up burning up the classroom. And so he has to learn how to control his heat vision and his other impulses related to it. But that was, I thought, a neat way to deal with that. But yes, that's sort of also when they added in levitating, which I think is in the Superman film, I believe, for the first time, maybe. Because I don't recall in the comics, like it's become a popular thing now where Superman hovers about 3 feet above people like this with to be superior. And it's like, hold on, I can get bounding, but I cannot buy this levitation thing. Shazam, maybe even, because he's magical. He should be able to do that. But I don't think Superman should. Anybody else have any other thoughts on this or other oddities?
You first.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, yeah, I got interested in Golden Age Superman for kind of that reason, that he was kind of within a certain limit of plausibility. He could kind of, he just literally would leap buildings in a single bound, you know, and he would just punch out the bad guys pretty well, that sort of thing. But he just kind of became more and more godlike.
Yeah.
Throughout the 60s, which I enjoyed actually because it just got more and more surreal. As I've gotten older and crustier and more rationalist, I've begun to prefer the old days Superman. It'd be interesting to actually see a version of Superman where he's just that.
Yeah, because it seems like, I mean, the first real reboot, I guess, was with the post-crisis Man of Steel stuff where they tried to, you know, bring back, dial back his powers a little bit. But it seems like every couple of years, then he gets more and more powerful again, you know? And it's like, yeah, I think people are kind of like that early Superman. Rachel, you had something there.
Yeah. Well, I was going to reference that classic sci-fi essay, Man of Steel, Women of Kleenex. What you were talking about earlier with some of Superman's more inconvenient powers. But no, my beef is really the addiction that superhero media has to the status quo. Mm-hmm. And why Bruce Wayne, instead of buying increasingly elaborate bat gadgets, doesn't sort of invest his money in some of the social services and infrastructure of Gotham and reduce crime that way rather than just punching people and putting them in a revolving door asylum.
Right. And Tony Stark too.
Yeah.
But you know, I forget how it plays out in the Arrowverse. Maybe Ira, you can help me with this. I've forgotten. But in the comics, Green Arrow was a millionaire, and he does that. He like has a change of heart and he becomes basically the Robin Hood character. Right. Green Arrow is Robin Hood in modern superhero form, where he is always, under Denny O'Neill's writing, is always trying to right social wrongs. Ira, do you remember, they didn't really get into that at all with in the Arrowverse with Arrow, did they?
Not at all. No. yeah. Not that I'm aware of. There was that period in the 60s in particular where there was just a series of Green Lantern, Green Arrow comics that were very sort of socially aware. But that was the 60s. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Superman in the 30s was kind of that way. Like he was going after corrupt landlords and actually kind of sort of righting the wrongs for the little guy.
Well, Superman was based on kind of this folk hero who was, I think, a railway worker. There's a song.
Right?
Yeah, there's a song about him and John Henry.
John Henry. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So this was one of the original sources, this legend of this black railway worker who was just so strong that he could do anything. And it was really about, the little guy fighting back.
So the Man of Steel was based on the steel driving men.
Yes.
Yeah. And after the death of Superman, they DC sort of initiated a handful of Supermen that are sort of like vying for the mantle of Superman. And one of them is called Steel. And basically, I think his actual civilian name is John Henry. And he's a black guy with a big hammer. Yeah, just thought I'd throw that one out there.
In terms of political content, has anybody seen the Watchmen TV series?
Oh, so yes. Good.
Yes, yes. That was actually a real treat.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, central to that is American racial politics. Very much front and center in that series.
I would love that if it got picked up again and they just, you know, carried on with the stories. Because it was only one season, wasn't it?
So far, yeah, only the one season.
Yeah, so I do hope it gets revived. Is anybody have any new shows that they want to mention before we get into our quiz? Some favorites or no? Yeah.
Well, one thing I am looking forward to, if it comes, I don't know if it's going to be coming or not, but the second season of all things, She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And the reason why is because when she goes off to start her own law firm, it's a hole-in-the-wall thing. And one of the characters, and one of my favorite Marvel characters, who actually works with her, although he's now a private detective, is Howard the Duck.
Okay.
I'm really hoping for a proper portrayal of Howard the Duck in the second season of She-Hulk. We'll see if it happens.
Oh, Ira, you know how badly I want Howard the Duck in any form. So that would be incredible. I just wanted to mention a few that I've been enjoying. The raunchy Harley Quinn featuring Kaley Cuoco as Harley, which I guess it's in its fourth season now. It started in 2022. It's on HBO Max. And the recent My Adventures with Superman, which is an anime-style sort of retelling of Superman. It's three seasons now on Adult Swim. The very new The Caped Crusader on Amazon Prime. Sorry, I'm sticking to like DC here, but I guess that's... I love a lot of the Marvel stuff. But I guess I'm always going to go back that way, despite, as Rachel points out, that he's a fascist pig with Batman. Today, the day that we're recording is the day before The Penguin drops, starring Colin Farrell. I'm very curious about that. I wasn't nuts about the feature film, The Batman. I mean, I've got mixed feelings about it. Anybody else got any other things that they're watching right now? Oh, and The Boys. I finally like immersed myself in The Boys.
I was about to mention The Boys.
Yeah.
Because I remember having read the comic and been like, wow, can they do that? And then the series, yeah, I mean, like it's fun the most recent season because certain fans of the show suddenly realized they were being made fun of. You know, it's like, when did The Boys get woke?
I think it's way better than the comic. I kind of bounced off the comic because the violence was just pointless and
it wasn't
going anywhere. But this show is amazing.
I went back and reread the comic and was like, yeah, kind of that reaction. It's like, well, but yeah, actually the TV show has improved on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's still super gross and gory and all kinds of hilarious and nasty ways to kill people, but it's all of that with a point.
Yeah. There was a show I watched on Netflix too that had one season, and I'm trying to remember. I'll have to. Don't mind me. Carry on.
Okay, I was just going to say I have also in order to try to catch up with some of the things that I've missed, I binged a ton of things this week, and one of them was also Peacemaker, it's a little less. It's like The Boys, but a little less so, I guess. But I do find John Cena very funny.
We're doing three people.
Sorry, I heard a voice there. That,
okay. Oh, that might have been that might have been Netflix pushing previews on me. Supercell is what it's called. Nobody's seen that. It's a British show. Everybody on the show is black. And it's these people that all suddenly start finding they have powers. And one of the companion characters, the younger companion from Jodie Whittaker's Doctor Who, is one of the superpowered characters. But that was actually a pretty amazing show, that you have these people that are sort of really kind of, all of them are kind of struggling with their lives, and then suddenly they start having powers.
You know what else was fantastic? Clever Man. It's a few years old now. It was Australian. Again, most of the characters are black. It's about a guy who inherits the power of the Clever Man, who's a kind of shamanic figure that can access the dreaming. And he basically has to become a superhero, even though he is a complete disaster of a human, to save his people and these kind of beings who are being like ported into concentration camps. It's much more fun than that description made it sound. But that was one that kind of did two seasons and died out, and it was really good and deserves a reboot or something.
What's that called, Rachel?
Clever Man.
Okay, I'll look for that.
And Umbrella mm-hmm. Academy too.
Actually. Oh yeah, what is that superhero?
What's that?
I guess that is a superhero.
They're like a superhero team anyway.
Yeah, another thing you were mentioning, sort of outliers or interesting things you might want to look for in superheroes. I think, what about a whole genre of superheroes who have game? I was thinking of Christopher Reeve as Superman. That whole line where Lois basically says that Clark said that you're just a figment of somebody's imagination, like Peter Pan. And Superman comes back and says, Peter Pan flew with children, Lois, in a fairy tale. And I was thinking that was such a brilliant kind of way of saying, no, I'm here. I'm an adult. I've got game. Okay, maybe I shouldn't say let's get it on. Maybe I've gone too far. We can edit that out in post. But I guess superpower could be being sure of oneself.
It's funny. I had the idea for a team of superheroes, David, that was like the opposite. I wanted to call them the underachievers. And basically, they're just a team of slackers, or with a whole series of things that don't really allow them to rise to their potential, but they're still trying. Anyway, that's all I have for the concept. I think I broke down a number of the characters and what their abilities or semi-abilities would be, but I'm an underachiever, so I didn't develop it.
I was going to say that reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where Elaine is dating a guy who seems to be like very broke, and she says, well, maybe he's like Superman. And Jerry says, yeah, and his superpower is having no money.
Yeah. one of the things that always gets me about superhero teams is that they do seem to be able to match villains with heroes, so that the hero has just the right power to solve whatever problem the villain throws out at them. And one of the things that I sort of thought of doing was a superhero team where they just don't have that luck, so they're always against villains who their power is not comparable to and does not offset in any way. The only problem with that is I can't actually figure out how they would succeed. because if nobody has the right power, just the right power to defeat the villain doesn't get defeated.
Right.
They have had some...
outsmart them. You know, like Superman 2, where he has three with the same powers as he does. So, like, that kind of puts him at a distinct disadvantage. But, you know, spoiler alert, he figures a way to defeat them, you know, by outsmarting them. And, yeah.
Yeah, or Buffy, in one of my favorite episodes, I think it was probably first season Buffy, part of a ritual for her becoming the Slayer and coming of age was for the librarian guy, Giles, to do something to her, like give her drink, give her something that actually removes her powers. And then she has to actually defeat a vampire without her actual Slayer powers to actually use her intellect and use her abilities to be able to kill the vampire. And I always found that was a very good episode.
Well,
I like the Iron Man movies, but the third Iron Man movie, I loved when Tony Stark has like no Iron Man suit and has to just be brilliant. That's one of the best things from all the Marvel movies, I think, is when that part where he's suitless.
Yeah.
Suitless in Seattle.
Oh, you just gave me a sort of, well, I may as well ask it now, but I have something else I want to say. But Spider-Man, guys, what do you prefer? Do you prefer the organic ability to shoot webs from the wrist, or do you prefer the mechanics?
Organics makes more sense, but anyway.
Yeah, that's what I always figured. It's like he was bitten by the spider, and now he has abilities, right?
Yeah, that is a spider-like thing.
And it kind of bothered me. Sorry, go ahead.
It isn't a superpower. It's just a machine anybody could use.
Yeah, you're wearing an Iron Man suit again. Yeah. You know? Which they do play up on in the MCU, I guess, right?
So if like, you know, somebody who is total mortal got a hold of his web flingers, they have his power now. So where if it's completely contained within his body and it's not you know, available to anybody else, it kind of is more keeping with the superpower itself, you know?
Rachel, do you have any feelings on that?
You know what? I'm agnostic, because if he was a real Spider-Man, it wouldn't be coming from his wrists.
Whoa. That would be awesome.
Oh, people have done cartoons of that where he shoots webs out of, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, like villains would just surrender, right? It's like, just no, get that thing away from me.
That's weird. Stop it. Yeah.
No, then he'd be a character on The Boys. That would be the Boys character, yeah. I think.
I was gonna say it could be a superpower of the Hulk's, because he's already not got
right. I know, right? And that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. Yeah. I'm not going into it right
now. All the pants are gone. You might as well put that superpower in there.
Yeah, I will discuss it individually if folks want, but not here. I also wanted to say that this kind of goes back to the beefs that you might have. And one of mine was like, once you see Super Friends or any Justice League thing, and the whole idea of every episode pretty much is like, united we stand, divided we fall, right? And then... they leave whatever, the Hall of Justice or the satellite, the Watchtower, and they're off like Batman's doing something and there's a dilemma. And I'm like, well, where the hell are the rest of them? Like we know they can come and help you. Why is nobody else coming? Especially in a DC universe where you have so many other heroes, like even Elongated Man, for God's sake, get him down there.
You know? Elongated. Yeah. You just made that up.
B-listers go ahead, there, Rachel. You know, they don't all need to be good. They just all need to be there.
Yes. Oh, I want that. Oh, that's like a, what do you call it? Mission statement or something. We don't all need to be good. We just all need to be here.
Yeah. Also, I want to finish just on, because I got to get the trivia thing started.
Yes.
Is that Peter and Deadpool, I think, 2. And also, I think he shows up in 3, this character named Peter who shows up for the auditions. Oh, yeah. And he says, what's your superpower? And he says, oh, I don't have any. And then they say, okay, you're hired. You're in. So basically, in some cases, you don't actually need a superpower. You just want the ability to join and do good. And it became a very popular character. So I don't know if this is the right time and this will be pretty quick. What I've got is, we're only looking at the 60s, 70s, and 80s. 5 questions per decade. So it's just...
Oh, and by the way,
it's only 15.
I wanted to add that if for some reason we end up tied, although Stephen kind of ran away with our previous quiz, I do have, we've got two tiebreakers, and if we somehow have to go to a third, I don't have a Beatleism as part of the show, but I pulled from my Trivial Pursuit Beatles edition, I pulled a card with a question for the game winner. Anyway, I'll hand it over to David.
What you have to do is score yourself. Like if you get one right, just remember how many you have right. So at the end, I'll say how many people have 15, that'll be none. How many have 14, none, and so on until someone has the most correct number of answers. So you have to track your own winning or correct answers. So let's get started. These first five questions are from 1980 to 1989. Question one. Its lead character is Prince Adam, the young son of Eternia's rulers, King Randor and Queen Marlena. Is it A, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe? B, Dungeons and Dragons? C, Voltron? Or D, Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light? All right. So the answer is He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Question two. A character named Mumra, M-U-M-M-R-A, says, ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumra, the ever-living. And then there's some mocking, maniacal laughter that follows. Now, is that quote from that character from A, Dungeons and Dragons? B, Voltron, C, Thundercats, or D, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe? Okay, and the if everyone has your selection, the answer is Thundercats, which is C. And one thing we should sort of be obvious, or we shouldn't even mention it, is that one shouldn't be Googling or doing anything else. You're either guessing or coming up with your own gray matter, because Googling is not right.
I'm not.
Nope. Gray Matter was a great cartoon in the 80s, too.
Yeah, that reminds me of this review of mine from Now Magazine that said, reading David Klink is like having your brain pulled out through your nose. But that's a whole other thing. So question three is from Transformers, that ran from 84 to 87. Who is the character that said, just remember, there's a thin line between being a hero and being a memory? Is that A, Starscream? B, Omega Supreme? C, Megatron? Or D, Optimus Prime? Okay, I'll give you another 5 seconds or so. Oh, I can repeat the answers. Oh, A, Starscream, B, Omega Supreme, C, Megatron, D, Optimus Prime. And I think everyone's probably selected by now. And the answer is D as in David, Optimus Prime. Question four, the fourth one of the 1980s. The greatest American hero, from 1981 to 83, had the line, flying away, A, on a love exciting and new, B, on a magic carpet ride, C, on a thought and a prayer, or D, on a wing and a prayer. So just to repeat the answers, A, on a love exciting and new, B, on a market magic carpet ride, C, on a thought and a prayer, or D, on a wing and a prayer. So the answer is D as in David, on a wing and a prayer. And yeah, that is one of the great themes. And the final question of the 1980s. Super Friends. This is specifically the 1980. These new adventures featured appearances by the core group of the five classic Super Friends. The five classic were Aquaman, Batman, Robin, Superman, and A, Wonder Woman, B, The Flash, C, Green Arrow, or D, Green Lantern? Answers again, it was still the five classic Super Friends: Aquaman, Batman, Robin, Superman, and A, Wonder Woman, B, The Flash, C, Green Arrow, D, Green Lantern. The answer is A, Wonder Woman. The first question of the five that we have for the decade 1970 to 1979, or we'll call it the 70s, Shazam with an exclamation mark. Woo! Which was from 74 to 76. What did the first A, you know there are two A's in Shazam? Well, what did the first A in Shazam stand for? A, Achilles. B, Agamemnon. C, Atlas. Or D, Archimedes.
Or Aunt May.
Oh, I left her out. Oh, that should have been my E. If you want to do a write-in, everyone, E would be Aunt May. Can you imagine? Wow. We need her own new Shazam. Make it funny, though. Okay, so I think that's enough time. I think everyone selected something. Yep. And the answer is Atlas, which is C. C for Atlas. Achilles was in Shazam, but that was the second A. I'll also get this off for 100th show, which should be in about 2 years. I will have this set up so you'll be able to see it, so we won't have to repeat the questions. This was my error. Question two for the 1970s, The Incredible Hulk from 77 to 82. The theme that was played at the end of the show was called A, Solitary Man, B, The Forlorn Man, C, The Lonesome Man Theme, or D, The Lonely Man Theme? Okay, if everyone has their selection, the answer is D, the last selection, which is The Lonely Man Theme. Question three. And this is a show we didn't mention earlier. Who played Dr. Elizabeth Merrill, it's M-E-R-R-I-L-L, on The Man from Atlantis, which ran from 1977 to 1978? Was that we have some fond memories from this. A, Terry Garr. B, Madeline Kahn. C, Belinda Montgomery. Or D, Goldie Hawn? And I think everyone's selected. So the answer is C, as in Charles, Belinda Montgomery.
I would have watched if Terry Garr was on.
Mm. Yeah, me too. Patrick Duffy.
Madeline Kahn.
Atlantis, I remember that.
Yeah, Patrick Duffy. And didn't he go on to Dallas or something?
He was on Dallas after that. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So question four of five from the 1970s, Wonder Woman. 1975 to 1979, what was the title of episode one of season one? Was it A, Wonder Woman Meets Baroness von Gunther? B, Fausta, the Nazi Wonder Woman? C, Beauty on Parade? Or D, the Feminum Mystique, part one?
Ooh. Well done, David.
So I'll repeat that one more time. It was episode, the season premiere of Wonder Woman. Was it called Wonder Woman Meets Baroness von Gunther? That's A. Or B, Fausta, the Nazi Wonder Woman?
Oh.
C, Beauty on Parade? Or D, the Feminum Mystique,
can do it.
Part one? Right there. Give you maybe 10 seconds on that.
I have Wonder Woman on my wall right here, Linda Carter.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, there we go.
It is a podcast instead of a webcast, so could you just describe her for a moment? Just kidding. All right, so that's enough. I think people have selected their thing. So what happens to be A is an aardvark, Wonder Woman Meets Baroness von Gunther. And what was weird about it, if you just look at the plot summaries, the line or two that they talk about, there were a lot of Nazis during the first season of Wonder Woman. The final question of the 1970s in The Secrets of ISIS, which ran from 1975 to 76, Andrea Thomas, and that's the character, Andrea Thomas was a high school mathematics teacher, B, high school history teacher, C, high school geography teacher, or D, high school science teacher. And if people have already made their selections, the answer is D as in David, high school science teacher. And I didn't mix these up very evenly. There's a lot of A's and D's so far, but that might change. You never know. Question one. We have five questions left, all 1960s. The first and last supervillains to appear in the Batman series of 66 to 68 respectively were A, Riddler and the Joker, B, Riddler and Minerva, C, Penguin and King Tut, or D, Penguin and Mr. Freeze? So hopefully that's clear enough. Basically, it's just who was the first supervillain and the very last supervillain of the Batman series. Riddler and Joker, Riddler and Minerva, Penguin and King Tut, or Penguin and Mr. Freeze. So I'll give you another 5 seconds or so. I think people have already selected. Assuming everyone has already selected, the answer is Riddler and Minerva, which was B as in Bob. Those were the first and last appearances. Question number 2 of 5 for 60s. The Green Hornet, which ran 66 to 67. What was the weapons-enhanced car, a custom Chrysler Imperial, called? Was it called A, the Black Beauty, B, the Green Hornet, C, the Green Dart, or D, the Black Shadow? So again, that amazing car in the Green Hornet. Was it A, the Black Beauty, B, the Green Hornet, C, the Green Dart, or D, the Black Shadow?
Cat.
Aww.
Oh. What's the name of your cat, Stephen?
Her name is Pippa.
Oh, Pippa.
Hi, Pippa.
Like Pippa Longstockings or a different Pippa?
We inherited the cat, and I don't know why she was named that.
Beautiful cat.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. She's also she's getting impatient, I think. No, cat.
three more questions, Pippa.
Yeah. All right. So I think I have to end the amount of time that you've got to guess. And it's A as in apple, the Black Beauty.
Ooh.
We only have three questions left. Now, I don't know why we have a question for this, but Wikipedia actually lists the Avengers from 61 to 69 as a superhero TV series. Now, the question here is, who is the actress that played Kathy Gale? Kathy's with the C. Kathy Gale, G-A-L-E. Is it A, Diana Rigg, B, Linda Thorson, C, Julie Stevens, or D, Honor Blackman? I think Troy was looking for his Avengers stuff on his wall. But anyway, so the question again is, who played Kathy Gale on the Avengers? A, Diana Rigg, B, Linda Thorson, C, Julie Stevens, or D, Honor Blackman? Go ahead, Troy.
I just wanted to say, so I'm assuming, for no confusion, not the Marvel Avengers, but the British TV show. Avengers.
Yeah, this is the British TV show called The Avengers from 61 to 69. And I think everyone has probably made their selection. And Pippa should be playing the game too, because Pippa may have selected correctly. It is Honor Blackman. D as in David, Honor Blackman. We only have 2 questions left. back to Batman 1966 to 68, who did not appear as a guest on the famous wall climbs? A. Edward G. Robinson. B. Elvis Presley. C. Dick Clark. Or D. Art Linkletter. And again, the question is, who didn't appear? I think there were like 14 or 17 or something. It's easy to find, but we're not cheating here. We're not looking it up. Edward G. Robinson is A. B is Elvis Presley. C is Dick Clark. D is Art Linkletter. And I think everyone's probably made their selection already. The answer is Elvis Presley. I should have made that one a bit harder, possibly. I'm not sure. The final question. This is it. The last question. And guess
what? Unless
there's
a tie. Unless there's a tie.
And then Troy has some extra questions. If there is, and there could be a tie. You never know. Last question. And guess what? It's from Batman, 1966 to 1968. Which two supervillains made the most appearances? A, the Penguin and the Joker. B, the Joker and the Riddler. C, the Riddler and Catwoman. Or D, Catwoman and the Penguin. When it comes to Catwoman, you can include all incarnations. The Riddler, you can include all incarnations because there are different actors and actresses that played the roles. But for this specific character, which two made the most appearances? A, Penguin and Joker. B, Joker and Riddler. C, Riddler and Catwoman. Or D, Catwoman and Penguin. Okay, I think everyone's probably selected, and it turns out that the answer is A as an apple. It is the Penguin and the Joker. Unless I assign that to the wrong... Yeah, the Riddler just didn't appear as many times as people think. Penguin and Joker basically were... some place on the internet say 19 times each. In another one, it shows 20 for one and 19 for the other. But they're ahead of the 14 or 15 of the next closest. So there's clearly Penguin and Joker were heads and tails above all the others. So that's it. So what you do is if everyone's been tracking... And Patrick could, I guess, use chat... or Sunning, what you would do is anyone that has 15 correct answers, please let me know. That's 1-5. If you got everyone right, then, well, I think you've won if you got everything right. So let's just assume not everyone's gotten 15. I think, Stephen, you won with 12 or 11. Like, there was, let's see, who's got 14? Anyone's got 14? Okay. Do I hear 13? Is there a 13? Now, 12. This was a bit tougher than I thought it was.
It was good.
So I think it was fair, but no, it wasn't. So 12, no one. But everyone's jumping. I can see a whole bunch of people jumping on 11. Oh, David Warren is waving his hand. Does anyone else have 11? Because otherwise, David Warren jumps in.
And Ira, are you still there?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Still
good.
Here.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you were there and okay.
Okay, I was actually working on a perfect score, and then I made the mistake of getting a question right. So,
Oh, the reverse. We could do this from the bottom. Who got zero right? Then won the. But anyway, let's not do that.
Okay, so David
Warren. Oh, and Patrick forgot to. Well, we'll just have to give it to Patrick because he didn't keep track. So he probably would have. I'm just kidding, David. So it looks. It looks like David Warren. Congratulations.
Congratulations, David.
Well, you know, part of it when I was guessing is often when I really didn't know, one of maybe about three questions, I figured, well, it's David doing it, so it's going to be D.
Oh, no.
good strategy.
Yeah, this is the first year where I didn't split it all. Like I used to do five answers and then five things, and if someone was really tracking it, they would be able to get the fifth one because it would be whatever letter hadn't been used. So David, what were some of the ones that you missed?
Well, I missed the second question on like the first in the first group, the second question.
Right.
And I missed the last question in the first group, those two. And then.
Mumra was not easy with Thundercats. Who's going to get that?
I did.
Oh, you. Woo! Oh, nice.
Well done, Rachel.
So I feel like, I don't know, I deserve a little bit of credit for being born in 1979.
Yes.
These are almost all before my time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, in the past, I've actually done 90s and 2000 to 2010 to whatever. So sorry, maybe I may have to bring that for the 100th episode. We are going to have to, I think, Troy, we're going to have to include some 90s and 2000s and stuff like that. But anyways.
I got it too. Because I thought Mumra sounds Egyptian and the cat worship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I right. thought that.
Well, I figured Elvis because I thought, who's going to sue? Anyway.
Yeah. What?
Well, we definitely want to thank everybody for playing. And hopefully if you are playing along at home, send us something to let us know if how you did. If you beat 11.
yeah, Pat's got it right.
What's that? What's Pat say? We old farts, we know old shows.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like real old shows.
Yes. Although I crapped out on the Batman questions.
Yeah, I was only I only got two of five in, well, not Batman, but in the last category.
Yeah.
I only got Elvis right.
That's where I mostly got my answer. Not completely right, but I had really tough choice between between the Joker and the Riddler or the Joker and
Penguin. Yeah.
And Penguin. Yeah. That was the tough one, but I remembered, seeing the Riddler a few times in that show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought we lost Steven, but he's back. I again want to thank everybody for playing and for coming out tonight. And David, do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
No. And then I'll, of course, say something. But I do like the lamp that's in Steven's place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's a very nice lamp.
Oh, yeah. I had to. Sorry. I lost the internet, so I had to switch to my phone.
Mm.
But okay. Yeah. I can show you the cat. She's.
well, there we go.
Pippa.
Yeah.
Oh, talk to us.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a better angle, isn't it? Right there.
For those
of
you watching or listening at home, we are watching Stephen's cat Pippa as she cleans her paws.
She's been pretty good, actually. She's only gotten kind of restless towards the end here. Here we are.
Well, thanks everyone for coming, because we were trying to just not have the full hour and a half kind of thing. So we did have a sort of a deadline of 9:15. To sort of wrap up. But if people wanted to hang out for a few minutes, oh, thank you. From Glenn says, happy 75th show, you two old farts. Give us many more. We are still planning on getting through. One of our things on the horizon is to eventually get to 100, because we definitely want to do some sort of a big event for episode 100.
Is that an age or a number of episodes?
Or both.
Or both.
Yeah, number of episodes.
Episodes. And I'll do a little, no, it's not too early. I'll do a little cross promotion too here for Dave and Rachel. They invited me along for their Halloween show on, let me get the name right, is it Wizards and Warlocks?
Close. Wizards and Spaceships.
Oh, okay. I thought it was alliterating for some reason.
Yeah.
That was fun. They had me out to talk about Stephen King. So check that out when Halloween
and spaceships.
Runs.
Is that right?
Yeah, Wizards and Spaceships.
I'm writing this down. I'm going to sign up for that too.
Yeah, there's and a Facebook.
Five,
if you're part
5-star, right?
Yeah. So Glenn, if you're I think you're probably a member of the Facebook group for Two Old Farts. There's also a Facebook group for Wizards and Spaceships. You can just look it up and find it. We're fledgling. Like Troy and I are at 75, and I think Rachel and I are at 5. But we've got a whole bunch in queue. We do have the King of Horror featuring Troy in October. That our shows show up the 15th day of each month. So October 15th is that. I think November 15th is about the great Hugo Awards debacle of 2023. And December is the one with Ursula, right? World building or not? Or am
World building with Ursula Witcher.
Yeah.
And David and I will have, leading up to Halloween, we're going to have our movie of the week special, which also looks at, David, help me out here, Richard Matheson.
Yeah, Richard Matheson and the ABC TV movie of the week. Yeah.
Yeah, as well as an Addams Family Monsters episode, which I'm really looking forward to now.
Yeah, that'll drop just because we have episodes that drop every second Saturday. So there's two episodes in October. We always pick October as a horror month, so we put horror themes in there. And then we got $6 Million Man, I think, two episodes, a two-parter in November. And then I can't remember exactly how.
We have a two-parter season. With a two-parter Bionic episode, and then BSG, the original Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers, which were produced by Glenn A. Larson. So we'll be doing an episode on that. Again, wanted to thank everybody who participated, everybody out there who's listening. And please check out our socials. You can go to our website, Two Old Farts Talk Sci-Fi. You can find us at numeric2of.ca and on Facebook at Two Old Farts Talk Sci-Fi.
Yeah, thanks a lot, everyone, for coming out. I think we'll be ending now because we just don't want to overstay our welcome.
That's
which
right.
Maybe at 75 episodes we have overstayed, or maybe we've jumped the shark. We have to figure out what episode we actually jumped the shark.
Well, we should aim for one that we like really try to jump the shark.
In fact, we should call it jumping the shark.
We should go down to Ripley's Aquarium to do the show.
You should do a show about shows that jumped the shark.
Oh, we just found out, or I just found
out.
You
should do an episode about Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
That's jumping the shark.
There's a website out there called, I think, Jump the Shark, where they list for every show, every series, the episode in which that series jumped the shark. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I am Troy Harkin.
And I am David Klink.
Oh, we're doing it backwards. It's so weird. We are two old farts.
Talk sci-fi.